thank you so much for that power. We thank you so much that you love us. We thank you so much that you're here with us today. We thank you so much that we don't have to invite you into this place, Lord. We thank you so much that we can come to the house of God and worship together. We thank you so much that you saw fit to send your son so that we could live. There are so many things that we can be thankful for today, God. Regardless of what we find ourselves carrying into this place today, that the promise of God is true and that the resurrection is real and that you heal every broken heart and your burden is light. God, we thank you that we can come in this place real today. We thank you that we don't have to carry yesterday's grace into today, that it's brand new every morning. God, we pray that you would just draw us near to you, God. Pray that your precious Holy Spirit would change hearts and minds here today, God. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, can we give it up for our worship team real quick? Thank you, guys. I am so thankful for our worship team. I'm so thankful for you, Ian. I'm so thankful for Logan and Wes. I'm so thankful for you guys. I appreciate you guys. I appreciate the hard work that you guys put in. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Welcome to everybody joining online. The live stream should have started, so thank you guys for joining us today. Today is week two of our sermon series, Who Do You Think You Are? Who do you think you are? Now, I've been asked that question more than one time in my life. Maybe you guys have been too, but we're looking at this in a little bit of a different context than maybe you've heard it before. Who do you think you are? Last week, we talked about the fact that without Christ, we aren't enough. That our culture wants us to believe that we are good enough and we're strong enough and we can just pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and we can just hustle and grind and we're all good. That's what culture wants us to believe. But the truth of the matter, like we talked about last week, is that without Christ, we are not enough. That we're broken. That we're sinful, that we face things like depression and anxiety, and that we struggle in our lives to serve Jesus, and that short of Christ, we can never be enough. But the good news is that with Christ, in Christ Jesus, the Bible says that we are God's masterpiece. That if you're in Christ Jesus in this place today, that you are God's masterpiece. That's good news. If you are in Christ, if you have a relationship with Jesus, that you were created in the image of God. And we talked about how you have a job to do that was assigned to you before you were ever born, that we've all got a job to do. We could call it an assignment. And for the sake of today's message, that's what we're going to talk about, is the fact that you have an assignment, that I have an assignment. And that's our sermon title for today, is Your Most Important Assignment. Your Most Important Assignment. Now, What I want to start out by doing is I want to ask all the Christians in the room, if you call yourself a Christian, if you are in fact a Christ follower, my question would be, what kind of Christian are you? What kind of Christian are you? I'll give you a couple of options here. Are you the type of Christian that's like bold and outspoken, you're driven to see people come to know Christ? And that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you've been assigned by God to do something here on earth and nobody can tell you different. Are you the type of Christian that maybe you pray multiple times a day? You're in your word diligently, daily, drawing yourself near to Christ. You reach out to people and let them know, hey, man, I'm just thinking about you. Just want you to know that I love you and I'm praying for you. Are you the type of Christian that reads Acts 1:8 where it says that we're to take the gospel to the ends of the earth, and you know beyond all doubt that that's talking about you, that that's what you're supposed to do? Are you the type of Christian that maybe even you're called to preach or teach the word, and you just want to see people come to know Christ, and you're willing to do whatever it takes to see that happen? Would you say that you're the bold, faith-filled follower of Christ? Or would you say, I'm more like what I would call the normal type of Christian, right? I'm more of your normal type of Christian. Like, I read my Bible when I can, and I'll get to church a couple of times a week or a month. And maybe, just maybe, I'll let that guy that's trying to get over into my lane that saw the same sign that I saw 3 miles back, maybe I'll let him get into my lane. I won't, but maybe you will. Maybe you're the type of Christian that says, you know, I'll be nice to people when I can be. And sure, I want to make God happy with me. I want God to be happy with who I am. But I don't got time to be that super Christian that you were just talking about. I don't got time in my life for that. Maybe you're a Christian and you say, well, yeah, Pastor, of course I'm a Christian, but I'm also a student. And I'm just trying not to drown under my workload. I don't got time for all that. Or maybe you say, sure, I'm a Christian, but you know what? My kids are grown. They're out of the house. I'm a grandparent. Maybe I'm a great grandparent. I've worked my whole life, and now's my time to chill. I'm just trying to relax. Yeah, I'm a Christian, but I'm not that first type of Christian that you were talking about. Nothing crazy like that. I'm what I would consider a normal Christian. If you're a Christ follower in this place, if you're a Christian, what type of Christian are you? Are you bold? Are you outspoken? Or are you just a normal Christian? Now, if we were a little bit further into the message this morning, and I kind of had you right where I wanted you, maybe I made you laugh a couple of times, you're invested in what I'm saying, if we were a little bit further into the message, I would remind you at this point that Jesus said, be ye hot or cold, because if you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. But we're not there yet. We're just getting warmed up. So I'm not going to tell you that you're not supposed to be lukewarm. I'm not going to tell you that. But what I will tell you is that if you're a Christian in this place this morning, if you're a Christian tuning in online, and you think that you're just a quote-unquote normal Christian, what I will tell you is that you couldn't possibly be any more wrong. Because if you're in Christ Jesus, there is absolutely nothing normal about you. As a matter of fact, Scripture describes you as an ambassador of the Most High God. If you are in Christ Jesus, you represent Him. If you follow Jesus, you represent the fact that He was sent from heaven to earth to show His love through the form of sacrifice. Guys, that's anything but normal. Paul made a declaration when he was writing to the Corinthians, and we find it in 2 Corinthians. So let's look at that together. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Now, if you're in Christ Jesus, meaning you've submitted your life to Him, You said, you know what, Jesus, you are my Savior. I submit to you. If that's you, then your sins, they're forgiven. There is no spiritual record of your past sin because they're covered in the blood of the sacrifice of Jesus. That's pretty good news, right? Now, as we read on through 18 through 21, I believe it is, I want you to pay attention as we read this scripture together. I want you to see if you notice a pattern in what we're about to read. Verse 18, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of, what's that word, reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's trespass against them. And he has committed to us the message of, here it is again, reconciliation. Therefore, we are, what's that? We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you, or we plead with you on behalf of Christ. Be, there's that word again, reconciled to God. God made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. I asked you last week, and I'll probably ask you every week throughout the course of this series, who are you? Who are you? Scripture tells us that if you are in Christ, you're a new creation. The old isn't there anymore. You're brand new, and you are an ambassador of the Most High God. An ambassador to the Most High God. Maybe you're sitting here this morning, or you're tuning in online, and you're like, well, that kind of sounds pretty cool. Like, I'm an ambassador? Sweet! What's that mean? What does that mean? Not only what does that mean, but what does that mean practically? Like, what does that mean for my life? Well, let's look at the origin of the word ambassador. Ambassador comes from a Greek word, presbueo. Presbueo. This is probably where we get the word bueno in Spanish, maybe? Probably not, actually. Presbueo. This Greek word, it appears twice all throughout Scripture, okay? It appears here, and it also appears where Paul is saying, I'm an ambassador in chains, where he's referring to the fact that even though he's in prison, even though he's being wrongly accused and wrongly detained, even though he's in prison, he says, I am an ambassador for God. So the best way to define this word from its Greek into the biblical context is this. I've got it up here for you. Presbueo, an ambassador, a chosen representative of a ruling authority. I really like that one. We could also say it this way. The highest ranking diplomat sent from one country to another. The highest ranking diplomat sent from one country to another. So you and I, Christian, you and I, in Christ Jesus, are the highest ranking diplomat sent by God from heaven because of the work that Jesus did on the cross to earth to promote and to protect the interest of the kingdom of heaven. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? If you're in Christ Jesus, I can tell you this. You're not just a normal Christian. There's absolutely nothing normal about you. If you are in Christ Jesus, you are an ambassador sent by God from heaven to earth. Now, we identified a bit of a problem last week when we were talking about the fact that God's Word tells us that we are God's masterpiece in Christ. And we identified the fact that many of us don't believe this for ourselves. Like, we'll read the Bible and we'll say, well, sure, that probably applies to everybody else. I believe that Christians are God's masterpiece, just not necessarily me. Sure, I believe, well, if the Word of God says it, it's got to be true, just maybe not for me. Maybe for everybody else that applies, but I don't know about me. So that's the problem that we run into, is that a lot of us don't believe this when we read it in God's Word, even though we believe that God's Word is true. And for that reason, I want you to say it with me, okay? I want you to say this. Say, I am. Okay, one more time. I am an ambassador of Christ sent by God to show His love on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you. We are ambassadors of the Most High God. We are representatives of the kingdom of heaven. Guys, there is nothing normal about that. The fact that God would choose us to represent His kingdom, there's nothing normal about that. So if you are in Christ Jesus, you're an ambassador. So then what does an ambassador do? What is the job of an ambassador? What are the benefits? What do I need to know? You're telling me that I'm representing Christ Jesus and I'm an ambassador for the kingdom of heaven. How the heck am I supposed to do that? That sounds like a pretty big calling. And it is. And I'm going to show you three things that we can hold on to when we look at the idea of the fact that we are literal representations of Jesus Christ on earth. And the first one is this. As Christ's ambassadors, you were not elected by people. You were chosen by God. You were not elected by people. You were chosen by God. You didn't win some high school election for senior class president, okay? You didn't win some popular vote. You were literally chosen by the God of the universe to be His representative. Don't believe me? This is what Jesus says in the book of John. John 15, "You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you," I gave you a job, "to go and to bear fruit," not fruit that'll fade away, fruit that will remain, "so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He will give you." Let me ask you a question. How does it feel to be chosen by Jesus? I didn't say it. Jesus said it. He said, "I have chosen you." That's pretty big. That's a big deal. But it gets even bigger because He didn't just say that He chose you. He said that He appointed you so that you might go bear eternal fruit. Verse 19. "If you were of the world, it would love you as its own. Instead, the world hates you because you are not of the world. But I have chosen you out of the world." What Jesus is doing here is He's making sure that we're diligent in remembering one very important fact. That if you are in Christ Jesus, this world, this isn't our home. We're not from here. We only live here temporarily. This earth is not our home. This earth is not where our values lie. This earth is not where our heart desires to be. That we are literally sent from the kingdom of heaven. Did I just say that? Paul says this in Philippians chapter 3. "But our citizenship is in heaven." The New Living Translation actually translates this as, "But we are citizens of heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body." We're citizens of heaven. And as citizens of heaven, God chose each and every one of us as Christ followers to represent Him here on this earth. He chose you to be His ambassador. Maybe you're here this morning and you're like, "Listen, man, that's I think that might be a little more responsibility than I was prepared to take on this morning. I'm not sure I'm ready for that. You're telling me that I literally represent Christ? Like, I don't feel qualified, Pastor, to be an ambassador. Like, I yelled at my kids 25 minutes ago. I was late to church. I didn't even get to get any coffee. You sure, Pastor? Are you sure that I'm an ambassador of Jesus Christ? Yep, I am. It's not because I say it. It's because God's word says it. And even though we don't feel worthy, and even though we don't feel good enough, and even though we don't feel ready enough, and even though we don't feel enough, God calls us to serve and to represent Him. And because God chose you and God chose me to represent Him, I want you to cling on to this truth. I want you to write this down. When God selects you, it doesn't matter who rejects you. When God selects you, it doesn't matter who rejects you. Because when God calls you to something, when He places a purpose on your life, it doesn't matter what other people say to you. It doesn't matter what the enemy puts in your head. What matters is that God has called you. It doesn't matter what social media says about you. Guess what? It doesn't even matter what Satan has got you to believe about yourself. Because you and I, we were chosen by God. And just try to wrap your minds around the fact that we were placed in this moment of all moments in all of history. We were placed here. And you were placed here with a specific skill set. You've got a specific design. You've got specific talents and passions. And all of those things were given to you from God and placed in this moment, because we've all got a calling on our life. And because of that calling on our life, when we walk into a room, we were ordained by God to be in that room as His representative. Christ follower, Christian, you are an ambassador of the Most High God. Okay, I'll believe you. All right, Pastor, I'm an ambassador. Well, how do I do that? Like, how the heck am I supposed to represent Christ? How can I be the best ambassador that I could possibly be? God's word says it must be true. How the heck do I do it? Well, a good ambassador is going to stay in close communication with the one that sent them. So being an ambassador of the Most High God means that you got to be close to Him. If you want to be the best representation of Christ Jesus here on earth that you can possibly be, that means that everything you do is rooted in prayer. That you're digging into God's Word. That you're drawing yourself close to Him. That your foundation is in His Word, and that you would allow His Word to build your mind and to build your faith. That's the first step. But then the second step is that while you're in close communication with God, you also got to listen for His voice. Remember, His Word said, "My sheep will know my voice," because when you're in close communication with Him, you always got to be listening for your next assignment. When you're an ambassador to Christ Jesus, you've always got to be prepared, because when you're an ambassador, you're not on your own agenda. You're not on your own agenda. You're always on call to the one who sent you. You're always on call to represent Him where He sent you to be. So what does that mean? We should be in constant prayer to be the best ambassador that we can possibly be. We got to be close to Him and be ready for our next assignment. And when you recognize that you are, in fact, representing Christ, you are the ambassador for Christ Jesus, you are prepared and you're always ready for where He's going to send you next. That's what it looks like to be a representation of Christ Jesus here on earth. When we recognize the fact that we're both chosen and called to represent Christ, our mindset should be that we're prepared every single day, because our day isn't our own. Our day belongs to His calling for our life. And when you allow your mindset to shift in that way and you start to believe that you truly are sent from God, chosen by God, and that you are a representation of the King of Kings, guys, that's a big deal. And when you start to see that in your life, you start to realize that He's prompting you more and more and more to put you in positions to represent His love here on earth. Have you ever had an experience where you just knew that you were supposed to witness to someone? That's not by accident. Have you ever been somewhere where you just knew, like maybe you're out to dinner and you feel like, you know what, maybe we should pay for that person's meal? I've got a couple of friends. I wasn't even sure if I was going to. Cordell and Caitlin, they're two young people that are amazing young people. And they told me this story one time. We went out to dinner with them and they were at dinner at Longhorn. And they said they saw this lady sitting by herself having dinner, and they just thought that, hey, why don't we pay for that person's meal? 20-year-old, 21, they're very young. Why don't we pay for that woman's meal? So they paid for the woman's meal, and the woman comes over to them and says, thank you so much for paying for my meal. Like, what made you do that? And they started to talk, and the lady said, are you guys Christians? And they said, as a matter of fact, we are. See, that wasn't just paying for a meal. That wasn't just, let me buy your steak and potato. That was God literally using them to be a representation of the kingdom of heaven in the middle of a Longhorn. You ever had something like that where you just knew that God was prompting you to do something that maybe you didn't even expect, and maybe you weren't even really comfortable doing it? But you felt that prompt on your heart. That's God using you. That's God using you to be a representative of His here on earth. It's not by mistake. Why? Because you are an ambassador to the Most High God. You're always on the lookout for your next assignment. You're always listening for the Holy Spirit to give you your next prompt. Sometimes God's putting you in a place to step outside of your comfort zone. And nobody likes that. Maybe you're an introvert and God says, go share your faith with that person. As ambassadors of Christ Jesus, we've got a job to do. And I don't know if I'm alone in this, but I think it's really, really, really cool that the Creator of all things, that the God of the universe would use me to get a message from heaven to somebody else. I think that's pretty awesome. And I think that's because we are, in fact, ambassadors to the Most High God. Maybe your example, maybe your situation would be that you see somebody on the side of the road with a flat tire and you stop and you help them. And then on the way out, on the way back to your car, you say, can I pray for you? And maybe in that moment, that person sees Jesus in you and maybe they don't even believe. Maybe you show up to work one morning and you just see it on somebody's face that they're hurting. And you represent Jesus in that moment by simply listening and not judging. And you offer prayer for that person. And they see Christ Jesus and you. Maybe somebody just had a baby and you offer to make them a meal. Somebody loses a person in their family and you offer them support. Being an ambassador of God could come in the simplest of ways. It doesn't have to be some monumental, earth-shattering, mind-blowing thing. But when you embrace the fact, when you believe the fact that you are, in fact, God's ambassador, you start to realize that it doesn't matter what other people think of you. And it doesn't even matter what you think about you, because we're our biggest critics, right? But it also doesn't matter how much you know. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter how many followers you have. None of that matters, because we weren't elected by people. We were literally chosen by God. And because we were chosen by God, we live with the authority of God to do His will in our lives. Who are you? You are chosen by God. If you are in Christ, you are chosen by God to be His ambassador. The second thing I want you to know is you never represent yourself. You always represent God. When you're looking at the idea of being an ambassador to Christ, you never represent yourself. You always represent God. You don't represent your own will. You don't represent your own desires. You're always representing the will of the King who sent you. We see Paul talk about this in Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. It says this: above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. Then, whether I come and see you again, or I only hear about you, I will know that you are standing together with one spirit and one purpose, fighting together for the faith which is the good news. In other words, the gospel. So what would it be like? Can you imagine what it would be like if every single person that claims Jesus as their Savior, what it would be like if we lived like this verse says, that we lived in a manner worthy of the good news, worthy of the gospel? Can you imagine what it would be like if we lived like we were literally citizens of heaven? I think everything would change for us. And here's what I need you to understand. Whether you're at the soccer field with the kiddos, or you're at the grocery store buying food and they've only got one checkout counter open and there's 500,000 people there, whether you're taking care of business at the bank and it's super busy, no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, if you are in Christ Jesus, you're representing Him because of who we are in Christ Jesus. You know, it's kind of like how, as a pastor, I'm held to a higher standard, right? Pastors, not just me, any pastor is held in a higher standard, and they should be, right? And if I'm being honest, I'm still working my way to that standard. And if you thought back to when I very first took this role, I'm sure that you've all seen some maturing and some growth in that. But here's the point. Pastors should, in fact, be held to a higher standard, especially when they're teaching the Word of God. But what I'm telling you today is that we should all, every single one of us as Christ followers, we should all be held to a higher standard, because we represent Him. We represent Christ. As Christians, we should conduct ourselves as though we believe the fact that we are ambassadors to the Most High God. As a matter of fact, Paul writes something regarding this idea in the book of Colossians. Colossians 3, verse 17 says this: and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. giving thanks to God the Father through him. That says, in whatever you do. I'd say that's pretty all-encompassing, right? That captures just about everything. That everything we do, we should do in the name of Jesus. Because remember, although we live in this world temporarily, we are not of this world. And this world has values that don't line up with our own. This world has values that don't line up with the one who sent us. This world, our culture today, tells us to put ourselves first. But the one who sent us tells us to put others first and to actually consider them even better than yourself. Our world and our culture tells us to get all we can, get it all, stack it up. But the one who sent us said that we should give all we can, because it's far more impactful and it's so much more of a blessing to give than it is to receive. Our world and our culture tells us that we should hate our enemies and that we should get them back. But the one who sent us tells us that we should love and bless the ones that persecute us. What this all means is that we are not living according to the values of this world. That we represent Jesus in everything we do. Who are you? You're a representative of the Most High God. And because of that, there's nothing normal about you. If you are in Christ Jesus, you are not just chosen, but you are appointed by God Himself to represent Him here on earth. So what does it mean to be an ambassador? It means that you're not elected by people, you're chosen by God. Secondly, it means that you never represent yourself, you always represent God. And finally, you have the authority of the one who sent you. You have the authority of the one who sent you. Whoa. Hold on. Are we saying that we have the authority of God? First, chill, because I didn't say that we are God. I said that we have the authority of the one who sent us. And secondly, I'm not the one who said it, I just repeated it. Let's read it in 2 Corinthians 10:8. It says, so even if I boast somewhat freely about what? The authority the Lord gave us for building you up rather than tearing you down, I will not be ashamed of it. Paul's saying, look, the Lord Jesus has given us authority. And as Christ followers, we're not going to be ashamed of walking in that authority, because he gave us that authority for one reason. And that is to represent him here on earth. Now, if you're like, I don't know, you're saying I have the authority of God, you're still not sure, let's look at what Paul says a little bit closer, because notice that Paul never used the word power. He doesn't say that we have the same power as God. What Paul said is that we have his authority. Let me illustrate it this way. Let's think of a police officer, right? Directing traffic. Maybe it's a concert, maybe there's an accident or whatever, right? But when that police officer sticks their hand out and tells someone to stop, are they using power or are they using authority? The answer would be authority. Because although the police officer has the authority to tell you to stop your car, they don't have the power to stop you should you choose to smash the gas. But what they have is, they have a badge that says that there is power behind their authority to tell you to stop. It's that same way that the authority of God is behind you as a Christ follower. His power is behind you. You don't have his power, but he gives you authority. Let me try to explain it this way, because you guys are looking at me like I'm crazy. How many of you have siblings in the room? Show of hands. Okay, maybe you'll like this one a little bit better. Okay, so we've got siblings. I'm a younger sibling. How many of you have been in a situation where maybe you were getting picked on, maybe you were the older sibling and you were the one doing the picking, either way, but the one being picked on runs into the next room and says, "Mom, they won't stop pinching me or poking me or pulling my hair or whatever," right? And mom says, "You go tell that little brat that I said if they don't cut it out, they're going to have to deal with me." So that sibling is probably going to walk back into that room a little bit more confident, right? Probably chest out. Because now that sibling has the authority of mom. That sibling doesn't have her power, but the one that's doing the picking is going to feel the power of mom if the authority is not respected. Does it make sense? This is the way that Jesus talks about it in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. "I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions." Disclaimer, don't go step on snakes and scorpions. "And to overcome all the power of the enemy, nothing will harm you." Basically, what Jesus is saying here is that, yes, we have a spiritual enemy. Satan is real. Hell is real. Satan comes to steal. Satan comes to kill. Satan comes to destroy. But you, Christ follower, Christian, you have the authority to say, "Get behind me, Satan." Why? Because of Jesus. Because of the one that said it first. Because Jesus gives you the authority over your enemies, you can say, "Hey, Satan, not today, bro. Sorry, not today, Satan. You can't have me. You can't have my kids. You can't have my family. You can't have my life. First of all, my life belongs to Christ. And secondly, he gives me the authority over you." Guys, you're not a normal Christian. As a Christ follower, you have the authority of the Most High God over your enemies. Who do you think you are? We are ambassadors sent by God to show his love here on earth as it is in heaven. We are ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ who are given a mission. We are on a call. We are available to do the work of the one who sent us because we weren't elected by people. We were chosen by God. And we don't just represent ourselves. It's not my agenda. It's the agenda of the one who sent me. And while we may not be super powerful, we've got the authority of the one who sent us. And that's why when we share our faith, we're not sharing our faith just on behalf of ourselves, that we're not just inviting people to the good news just passively. We're not just saying, maybe you should come try this out. But we literally plead with them to accept the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the verse that we started with, I'm going to read it again. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 20 and 21. "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you," in other words, we plead with you on Christ's behalf, "be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God." What does that mean? Weren't we talking about being ambassadors? Yes. And as ambassadors, we have an assignment. And a huge part of that assignment is that we would see people reconciled to Christ. If you're here today or you're tuning in online and you're far from God, just like this verse says, I'm pleading with you. I'm imploring you that you would come back to Christ. That you would be reconciled to Christ. And maybe you've never met him. Maybe you need to meet him for the first time in your life. He loves you. Whether you've never talked to him in your life, or whether you gave your life to Him, but you haven't been talking to Him lately. He loves you. And He loves you so much. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever, that's the important part. Because it doesn't matter what you've done in your past. It doesn't matter how big of a dirtbag you were. It doesn't matter. Because His word says that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. Jesus died so that you could know His Father. And if you're far from God, I want to invite you back. You can come back right here, right now, this morning. Who are you? Are you in Christ Jesus? Are you a Christian? Because if you are, you're not just a mom. You're not just a dad. You're not just a 9-to-5er plugging away, collecting a paycheck. You're not just changing diapers. If you are in Christ Jesus, there is absolutely nothing normal about you. Because you are an ambassador. You are a representative of the kingdom of heaven, chosen by Christ Jesus to do good works on earth, chosen by the Creator of all things to be a light in a super dark place. If you are in Christ Jesus, you've got a job to do. I've got a job to do. We've got a job to do. Because there are people that would say, yeah, God's word, I believe that, but it doesn't apply to me. Maybe your assignment today is to just show somebody the love of Christ. And maybe it's just maybe it's just in word, or maybe it's how you respond to them, or maybe it's just giving them a hug and saying, bro, I'm praying for you. You have an assignment. You have an assignment. Christian, there is nothing normal about you. There is nothing normal about the fact that Jesus took your sin. The Bible says, He who knew no sin became sin for you, for me. There's nothing normal about that. You are Christ's ambassador. Stand to your feet this morning. There's nothing normal about following Jesus, and there's nothing easy about the assignment, because it wasn't easy for Christ to do what He did for us. And I don't think easy has ever changed the world. And I don't think easy has ever changed somebody's heart. And I don't think easy has ever impacted somebody's life. There's nothing normal about you. If you would close your eyes and bow your heads this morning, I want to just create a space here for us to talk freely. You know, I would just ask that we would pray for each other. As Christians, as the body of Christ, I would just pray that we would just take a moment and say, man, I represent Jesus, not just to people who don't know Jesus, but I represent Jesus to people who do know Jesus, and maybe they're far from him. And maybe they need to see the Jesus that they met in me today. Guys, we are ambassadors to the kingdom of heaven. Somebody who doesn't know Christ, they look at you, what they think about Jesus is going to be represented by what you do in many situations. Maybe you're in this place and you don't know Jesus. Maybe you're in this place and you say, I'm not an ambassador of Christ because I don't even know him. You can know him today. It's a free gift. It's not earned. I just want to pray for each and every person in this place this morning. And we're going to dismiss. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for the work that you did on the cross. I thank you that you give us the opportunity to represent you. Lord, I just pray over every person here, God. Some are struggling. Some of our number are sick. And Lord, I just pray that your power would be known in their lives. And God, I pray that we would all be the representative of you that you would have us be. That we would embrace the fact that we weren't chosen, we weren't elected by people, but we were chosen by you. God, and that we don't represent ourselves, that we represent you. And that we have the authority given by you because your power is behind us as Christ followers. And I pray that we would look at our assignment as bringing as many people to know you as we can, just by the way we represent you, God. Lord, I pray over every single person under the sound of my voice and tuning in online, God. I pray that you would just be with them specifically, uniquely, exactly where they need you. And if somebody here doesn't know you, God, I pray that they would come to know you, that they would trust you with their life. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed. Have a great week.